Goddard Sells, episode number 8, and here with me is my co-host, Raymond Hugh. Now, I'm Charlie Rose, and today I'd like to talk to you about Moe. What do you think, Ray, about Moe?
Well, I think Moe is something hot, something spicy, something cute. Something adorable. Like, I want to hug you and I want to kiss you. I want to hug you and kiss you and squeeze you.
But don't you think that there's just a little bit of a Lolita complex embedded in this entire otaku phenomenon? Boggy hugging pillows and the like.
Well, oh? Let's just say, hey, to each his own, right? Whatever a person likes, and it happens to be a thousand person that likes that like the same thing, then.
Well, there you have it, Raymond Hugh on Moe. Anyway, I'm really Michael Hong. That was yet another public television or radio impersonation, and and unfortunately today, Jeremy could not join us. He is busy recovering from the Anime Souffle meeting that we had last night. We had a total of about 35 people show up to come and watch Haruhi Suzumiya, Honey and Clover, Death Note, and apparently there's actually this new show called Tokyo Majin something 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 with a very long title. Have you heard of it, Ray?
You guys are starting on that? Well, I've seen it. I've seen it available for downloading, but I haven't seen it myself. So
It's like this really... Actually, it's a rather strange and somewhat difficult to understand show about zombies. It's based on a video game, that's what I'm told. That's what Jeremy tells me. Jeremy was the guy who put it in the grab bag, so it's a show that he likes. And it involves two different sets of characters, apparently, doing two different sets of things that I can't quite wrap my head around exactly what's going on. But
Something to do with high school and fighting, right?
Yes, it has. It features high schoolers, and like it has this really strange, I'm not sure, very kind of uncomfortable blend between kind of your typical high school comedy. You've got like some of the typical anime high school comedy tropes, and also like standard straight ahead zombie killing action with quite a lot of blood. Yeah, so. That was what we saw last night, and it was fun.
A black comedy, then?
I don't know. It's not black comedy in the dark kind of, it's got something with a really dark and, cynical edge to it. Something like Welcome to the NHK. I would call that a black comedy. But
is it more like a Pulp Fiction style black comedy?
No, not even that. Maybe. It's like one moment... They're laughing it up. The girl is, starts exclaiming like, stop doing that. What are you doing? And you have scenes like that. And then another scene, they're all going out with a big sword and all these zombies are coming after them. And then he swings his big sword with all these martial arts moves and, all the zombies get killed. And that's pretty much it, as far as I can tell. Jeremy says that episode 1 is intentionally throws you in the middle of the action, that the second episode actually goes into the backstory and tells you what's going on. They don't tell you any backstory in episode 1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's Venus versus Virus.
Yeah, you were actually previewing that, weren't you? Like, I haven't seen it yet. That's supposed to be...
I thought about doing it, but people are already on episode 8, so...
Oh.
Yeah, today I'll be doing... To Heart 2 OVA 1. I'll be previewing that.
Cool.
Yeah. I can talk about Venus versus Virus, but nah.
Well, I'm thinking actually our next episode or maybe the one after that is going to be our spring season preview. And we're going to talk about all the, or at least some of the new shows that will be coming out and see which ones look interesting to us and which ones maybe we want to actually start like reviewing for the next season.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I guess while we're on that subject, if anybody still wants me to do make a Derek, then then leave me a comment. Otherwise, I'm getting sick of doing it, really. Because it's fun, but for the first about 10 episodes, it's mostly the same thing. You provoke the main character, the girl, and she beats the crap out of him. It's better seeing than walk through. So yeah, mm-hmm. And then later they try to come up with a plot, which got boring for about 5 episodes or more. And now they're trying to get back to the funny part again. So
I see.
Yeah.
Hmm. I would actually kind of like, you know, it's probably a good idea, maybe instead of doing like summaries, to just to write a review, like say what you think about like what went on in this particular episode. Because yeah, I think people are interested in what unique thing you have to say about the episode.
Well, I thought because nobody's doing it like in an English mm-hmm. subtitle or like fan sub world, so I mm-hmm. thought I provide some details. But yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's
reviews are easier for the episode.
Yeah, actually, they're a lot easier. It takes me less than an hour to write a review for a particular episode of anything. It takes me at least another extra 30 to 45 minutes just to write a summary, and so I gave up writing summaries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, why don't we go and go on to the news for now.
All right.
All right. All right, why don't you go ahead and take on the first item that we want to talk about today?
Yeah, coming from Anime News Network, the internet's most trusted anime news source, Japanese had some sort of survey. It basically says, which anime character do you wish you could be friends with? And let's see. So top 10. And here is today's top 10 list. Number 10, the list on number 10. Okay, just kidding, no. But yeah, the number one person, the number one anime character on the list is Doraemon. Which is not very surprising because, well, you just you would love to be friends with this cat, with this like this cat. I mean, he's just great. I mean, for people who grew up with Doraemon, that's like a no brainer. And the second person is Lupin. I think Lupin the Third. I've read the French novel translated into Chinese. I'd say the anime basically is kind of based on that, but the characters really don't share that much in similar. I guess. Correct me later on comments if anybody wants, but I don't think they're that similar. The third person is Conan, not the guy with a huge sword and a lot of muscles, and it's not Conan the future boy Conan. It's the long running detective show with a teenager that got shrunk into a little kid.
Yeah.
And the next is Totoro. Okay, I can see that. No big fat. Big fat, like a like pet slash friend like character. Yeah, who wouldn't want that, right?
Yeah, Totoro and Doraemon are very similar choices in a way.
Yeah, especially if Totoro don't eat you first. But anyway, yeah. Just kidding. Yeah, that was just okay. That's awful. And Son Goku from Dragon Ball. All right, you know, I guess I can see like because he's the escapist character, just kind of does whatever, have fun. Mm-hmm. All right. And then Asakura Minami, I've not qualified to talk about it. Yeah. I've seen this classic stuff, so beat me.
Anyway, Touch is me. A sports one, right?
Yes, yeah. It is. It's about baseball.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And, you know, since I've seen this classic, oh, God, I haven't seen the classic, so I'm not talking about it. And Sergeant Kirillo. Again, another show I just haven't seen.
Carol Gunso, I think, right?
Yes, that's right. They have it like dub in Chinese, so that's why I'm not watching it. I just don't like dub in general. I don't care which language it's dubbed in,
mm-hmm.
except its own language. And there's Lum coming in on number 8 is Lum from Urusei Yatsura.
I don't know about that.
I don't think getting my ass zapped all the time is a good idea, but anyways. Hey, you know? And then number 9, I'm still surprised that this person actually made it into the top 10 list. Ayanami Rei from Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Of all things. You should include all her clones in other shows under that too, like Yuki in Haruhi Suzumiya or Tabitha from Zero No Skyma. They're all the same anyway. They all came from the same big LCL tank, so.
Oh my god, yeah, I know. And all her clones, so she'll be Ayanami Rei. At L, yes. All her clones. Well, whatever, yep. So however it's said in Japanese, yeah.
Uh-huh.
みなさんも。Anyway, that was my example of how not to speak Japanese. Anyway. And the number 10 is real song from that police station. This is the police station in front of a Konami.
I have no idea what that is.
I'm not even gonna try, but I know exactly what it is. I've seen it in Japan. I've seen it. It's funny because he just like does a lot of like really, what is it? He does a lot of pranks. He does a lot of shady, little shady things that, you know, not that shady, but they're shady. They're not evil shady, like, they're not slim shady either. They're just shady little things that boys would love to do. And he's like grown man, like over 30, but he does things that like 10-year-old boys would do. And he's super funny with doing that, and he come up with this little funny schemes, like trying to get money or to get fame or whatever, and he always blows up in his face at the very end.
Oh, really?
And he's always getting chased, like, at the very end. Like, he's like, running away. Like, classic boy anime. Not shonen, but boy anime, I guess.
Is that an old or a new show? I've never heard of it before.
It's long-running, also long-running. It's very long-running, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, a lot of these are really long-running shows. Like, a very, like... venerable, you know, institutions. I mean, obviously, at the top of the list being Doraemon, which has been on for like 4 decades now, literally. I mean, so
just about, yeah.
Yeah, 4 decades.
Oh my god! And but you know, I mean, I'm just surprised that Ayanami Rei made it onto the list. I think fanboy otakus, real otakus, put her there.
Oh yeah,
we're not talking about boys. We're talking about like, you know. Guys like us.
Yeah, probably people our age. People Anno's age. Yeah.
But you know, the funny thing is, though, you don't really see a tsundere on it. I don't think Long qualifies. Long doesn't qualify. She's violent. She's just violent.
Really? I mean, she goes around like electric shocking Ataru all the time. I mean, if that's not tsundere, I mean.
Okay, fine. No, but she's not sweet and.
She doesn't alternate, between the two so much.
Not often, yeah.
It's just all motivated by jealousy.
Yeah, it's just all jealousy. Like, I don't know why people... Must be because the classic 80s people love that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there's nothing on this list that's from a show that's under 10 years old, I noticed.
Yeah, I mean... Evangelion, 1996.
Yeah, 96, 95. Yeah, that's already almost 11 years now. And
right. Dragon Ball.
Yeah, age. Dragon Ball's been out for ages. Totoro's been, Totoro's about 20 years old now almost. Right. And yeah.
Lupin, 30. Doraemon, 40. Real Song is probably late 80s.
Okay.
Or maybe it's early 90s. I don't know.
Yeah. These are old. Yeah, I wonder who the survey sample of this was. Like, who were the people who actually took this survey?
Well, it says, I can look at the sign for 1 second. It says, Ranking Japan.
Yeah, it's a Japanese site. I can't read it.
How about you come up with your list and come up with mine?
I don't know if I really have a list. I mean, okay. I've been thinking more along the lines of, like, just what kind of characters that I would actually love to get to know. See, the problem is that there's anime and what makes a fun character in anime, and then there's real life. Haruhi Suzumiya is a wonderful character in anime. She'd be an absolute nightmare to be with in real life. I mean,
she goes ahead of Naru a freaking pole, by the freaking long stick, like 300 meters.
Oh, I know. It's maybe somebody like I don't think you've seen Sumo Momo, right?
No, I haven't. I'm downloading it, but yeah.
I'm actually very fond of Nodame in Nodame Kantabile. Sounds like you're going to start watching that show, right? Since Aiko Kawasumi's in it.
Yeah, three people. Noto Mamiko, Nabatame Hitomi. Oh my god, three of them?
Oh yeah.
All three? Yeah.
This is a high-powered show, apparently. This is one of those... They got some pretty high-powered voice actors and actresses.
Yeah. Like three most popular women out there. Mm-hmm. Like voice female seiyuu out there. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay, don't come up with a list. So you got a character. Well, I got a character. It's Misato. I want to get to know Misato as my real friend.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, hug her and kiss her and squeeze her and then...
Have her go shoot people who try to kill you?
Hey, man, there's a Chinese proverb says, if you die under a flower, Ew, you're definitely if it's nice to be a ghost if you die under a flower. And the flower meaning the girl, yeah.
I mean, that was her coolest moment in the entire Evangelion franchise, was in the end of Evangelion movie when she did some of her gun pyrotechnics. That was awesome.
Yeah, and then, yeah, she's a cool person to get to know with, too. I guess I'm not going to come up with a main character. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to, okay? I can't find one guy that's... Wait, Spike is good?
Spike's cool, yeah.
Spike is a very cool person to get to know with,
mm-hmm. too. He might be a little hard to get along with in real life, actually, but...
I don't know. I think he'd be perfectly fine to hang out with. Yeah, if he wants to hang out with you.
Yeah, if. That's the thing.
A huge ass if, yeah. Like, I go with, for women, like, I go with Ravi. What the hell? Before she blow my head off, that is.
Yeah, that's the problem. She could just go off at any time and, like, kill you while you're asleep. And
No. She'll just wake you up and kill you.
Oh,
She takes it. She's not an assassin.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, I don't want to get to know Kirika or Mireru, or Mireyu.
Right.
Because these two are like, okay, somebody please kill me for my French. But anyway.
I think it's pronounced Mireya.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
The Japanese pronunciation just sounds like, huh?
French has a lot of sounds that actually aren't even in other Western languages, actually. So it's kind of hard. I can understand.
Like I said, I'm not going to Paris. I don't care. I'm American.
Yep. I guess that's it for that particular item.
Yeah, next news item maybe.
All right, let's go on to the next news item. All right, so apparently, according again to Anime News Network, there is going to be, for the United States release of the Haruhi Suzumiya DVDs, they're going to be including a bonus DVD in the special editions of every volume. They're going to be including the episodes in television broadcast order. Now, for those of you who don't understand what I was talking about right there, okay, here's the thing. The shtick with Haruhi Suzumiya is that when it was originally broadcast on television in Japan, the episodes were deliberately aired out of chronological order. There was the first episode was actually technically in the chronology somewhere like episode 8 or 9. And it was done on purpose. Like, it was shuffled in a way that the character development and introductions and everything actually strangely made sense, but it was still not chronological. However, when the DVDs came out in Japan, they were released in chronological order. And the licensor in Japan, the licensor in Japan contractually obligated whoever picked it up in America to also release it on DVD in chronological order. And so the regular edition of the US DVDs for Haruhi Suzumiya also have to be in chronological order. But they apparently, Bandai has won permission to include a bonus DVD on the special editions in broadcast order. And this is a worldwide exclusive. In other words, not even in Japan are they going to be able to have DVDs in broadcast order, only here in America. So you American fans can feel really lucky about that if you really like the broadcast order, like I did. And so, what did you think, actually, about the whole episode shuffling that they did in Haruhi Suzumiya? Did you think it worked?
It's brilliant. I mean, I find it absolutely confusing, but somehow the whole thing just seems better. It's an artwork in the way that it's broadcasted. It's like that's the art that the producer and the broadcast and whoever was trying to present. Now, if you like mess up the art in the wrong order, you'd be screwing up. Really, to me, it's an artistic thing, you know, because the context was meant to be taken out of context.
Right. I felt that was the whole point, maybe not the whole point, but it was part of the whole point, was that it was supposed to be, in a certain degree, a reflection of Haruhi Suzumiya's mind. And Haruhi Suzumiya's mind doesn't think linearly. It jumps around all the time. And given who she is, I don't want to spoil exactly who she is, but given who she is, that order makes sense. Like, in the episode previous, she would introduce, you know, the episode number and what she thinks is next versus what Kyon, you know, who represents logic and order and reason and everything else, you know, what he thinks is next. Yeah, I really did feel that the episode shuffling contributed something unique to the whole ethos of the show. I don't know. Have you actually tried watching it again in chronological order? I haven't actually done that yet.
No, I don't have it on my DVD collection anymore.
Okay.
Quote unquote. So I don't haven't done it yet.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking of doing that one of these days because, but I really did feel that, you know, the episode that they ended with is technically episode 6 in the chronology, but I thought it was perfect as a final episode. Like, I don't think that would really work if you stuck it in the middle the way that you have to do it with the DVDs.
Yeah, what would be the chronological order of the last episode?
It's actually episode 6.
Are you serious?
There's actually one main plot arc. And that, you know what the main plot arc is. And that's actually, each of those episodes is actually titled The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. Oh. And then all the other ones are one-off episodes. You see, basically what happened is that those 6 episodes of the main plot arc represent the first Haruhi Suzumiya novel. Mm. And all the other episodes are actually little sides, bits and pieces from the other novels. And there's more novel material to go. That's why there's going to be a second season coming up very soon. So,
Oh, yeah. And they have like 5 books out already. So
I think there's actually 6. I'm not
6,
sure.
6, right.
Yeah. But there's plenty of material to go, and there's plenty of things they could do. And so I'm really looking forward to that, actually. And I'm actually very happy that Bandai USA was able to negotiate to the degree that we, as fans, are able to at least get the broadcast order DVDs. And
I'm telling you, it's American power, man.
Yep, and so all of you out there who have the money to spend on American DVDs, go and support Bandai, and I actually can say that from the bottom of my heart, because I want people to respect artistic, you know, prerogatives, and I want to reward people who do actually respect that sort of thing. That's all too rare these days.
And American, too. Think about that.
And it's region one only. Yeah, not even the Japanese are getting that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, like I said, power to Americans.
Yep. All right. Anyway, that pretty much does it for the news section for today. And we are going to go each do a little preview of a show that we are currently watching. So, Ray, why don't you go ahead and start off and do that?
Yeah, already then. Well, we all watch... not we all, but a lot of people watch Too Hard 1, Too Hard Remember My Memories, and Too Hard 2. Well, now they have Too Hard 2 OVA out.
Mm-hmm.
OAV out, whatever. Mm-hmm. And basically, it just kind of continue on the story, I guess. You know how Too Hard 2 works. You watch along with the main character, especially from Too Hard 2. The main characters are pedestrians sometimes, and his friend is another pedestrian. And in this case, basically, OVA 1 was more about, his pedestrian friend's hot sister, older sister, Tamane. It's about Tamane, and it's about a maid robot. Now, no maid robot ever does it for me as much as Moti did. I'm a Moti fan, I'm Moti figurines, I have Moti dolls. But this new maid character she's kind of orfish, kind of shy, and... Well, maybe not orphan. She's kind of shy. She's kind of reserved, and she's kind of like, she's still learning. But she does everything very well, and she gets to live at the Tamane's house. And then, because she basically fell in love in first sight with the main character Takaki. But guess what? Takaki said, "Oh, you'd be perfect for Tamane's house." And she said, "Oh crap, no." She said, "I'll still do my best." And chaos ensues when she goes to Tamane's house. Because Takayaki's friend Yuji, that's it. Yuji, that's it. And he really likes maid robots. But of course, Tamane plays him Tamane actually basically spoils his schemes of trying to take recording studies of the maid robot. She breaks his camera.
We all know what that means.
Oh yeah. So basically, that's everything in a nutshell about OVA Too Hard OVA 2 episode number 1.
Is it called Remember My Memories?
No, that's Too Hard 1.
Oh,
we're talking about Too Hard 2.
Okay.
Too Hard 2 OVA, and doesn't have a like the title just says Too Hard 2 OVA 1.
Wait, I'm confused. So there's a I'm looking on AnimeSuki right now to look at the list of what's available for Too Hard. There's a Too Hard 2. That there's 13 episodes of that. There's another one called Too Hard Remember My Memories.
That's an extension of Too Hard 1. Too Hard Remember My Memories was never in the game or not, well, whatever. It's basically they say Too Hard 1 was popular. Let's make another Too Hard 1 related story. But it has nothing to do with Too Hard 2, which is in the same school, but it's a completely different set of people.
Ah, that's what was a little confusing for me. It's a totally different cast. Okay.
Yeah, just completely different people.
I see. Okay. All right, so, but it's the same kind of idea, right? It's kind of a harem anime with a lot of daily life details and all that sort of
exactly,
thing.
Exactly, yeah. But in Too Hard 2, the main character is practically, a lot of times, he's just watching the action.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like some of your old characters from your old novels, this is watching the action, basically.
Yeah, that was the case with the first one, too, I think. So, pretty much.
No, not quite. The first one, the main character actually goes around and bump into people. See, he actively helps the senpai,
mm-hmm.
and then he actively helps the kickboxing girl.
Mm-hmm.
He actively does something, whereas the second one, he's basically the main character Takaaki just gets involved just because things happen to happen.
Right. So, did they have a dating sim actually that was for Too Hard 2 as opposed to Too Hard 1?
Because
you can sort of see the dating sim roots of Too Hard 1 the way you described it.
Both of them.
Yeah, but okay, so there was also a game to go along with Too Hard 2.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All these things came out of games.
Right. That's your summary of Too Hard 2? Oh.
Yeah, basically, pretty much. Well, Too Hard 2 OVA, basically.
OVA. Okay.
Right, but I guess. OAV, but I guess one thing I could say is that the person who plays Tamane, Ito Shizuka, she sounds a little bit like Kawasui Ayako, but Ito Shizuka sounds more like an older sister.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Right. You're going to be really surprised how Ayako Kawasumi sounds in Nodame Cantabile. She definitely goes to, like, she's very childlike in this one. She makes all kinds of funny noises when she talks, and so yeah, it's really funny actually. So
I think she practiced her kid voice in Ichigo Mashimaro.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah,
right.
I don't know. I haven't seen that show, but you'll see. You'll see.
Okay. All right.
Anyway,
and you're going with.
I'm going to be talking a little bit about Soko no Strain, which was a show that just recently concluded, and I'm still in the middle of it. I'm on episode 5.
Alrighty.
For those who don't know what Soko no Strain is all about, it's basically a mecha space opera, kind of in the old Gundam kind of grand tradition. The main character is a girl named Sarah Werrick. Sarah Werrick is a blonde-haired girl who idolizes her big brother. Her big brother is going to be her big brother's name is Ralph Werrick, and he's a mecha pilot. Mechas in this world are called strains. And they live in a world where there's two sides, you know, they're warring with each other. They're both, you know, there's a civil war basically between two different human sides. And Ralph Werrick goes off to war one day, leaving his little sister behind. You know, he's going to go off to be a big war hero, mecha pilot, whatever. And, you know, his little sister idolizes him so much, she basically vows, I'm going to be a mecha pilot too and go follow him and go fight with him. And so she does that. Basically, you see her several years later, and she's in the Mecha Pilot Academy, and she's really, really good. Like, she's a natural talent, just like her brother. But then one day, her school gets attacked, and then what should happen? Except that apparently her brother, with, like, the enemy, has come to attack her school. And so she finds out the hard way, and after all her friends have been killed, that her brother has betrayed, like, their side, and that he's joined the other side.
Wow.
And so
Escaflowne.
And so, like, the whole series, that's episode 1, basically. And that's not really a spoiler. That's basically the whole premise of the whole series. The whole premise of the whole series is that she basically wants to, you know, she wants to stay in the military, and then she wants to keep fighting, and she wants to keep fighting as many battles as she can in order to have kind of a confront, to confront and to meet with her brother and to see, you know, just what's going on and why he's doing what he's doing and why he's betrayed everybody. So, Yeah.
All right. So talk about the animation a little bit.
The animation quality is a blend of both standard, animation, which I was about to say cell animation, but they don't do cells anymore, obviously. There's no
computer.
Everything is computer now, and some of it is a traditional kind of hand-drawn look, but a lot of the mecha battles are CGI. But they're very good CGI. Like, I was actually very impressed with the animation quality in the fight scenes. They were very fluid. Like, it didn't look like they were cheaping out on any particular scenes in the battle. Like, they were...
Like, one Jin gets shot, 100,000 times at the exact same spot, but, exact same blast.
Yeah. Like, if you watch Episode 1, there's a lot of aerial battles in Episode 1.
Oh.
And it's very impressive. I have to say that the battle scenes were really enthralling. And
so no recycling thing like Gundam Seed Destiny. Basically, the same person gets blown up the same freaking 1,000 times.
Maybe they'll do that later. I don't know.
I mean,
the only thing is that the series is actually not very long. It's only 13 episodes, so it's so they don't have as much time to waste, hopefully, and so hopefully their budget will hold so that they can keep having good animation. Because actually, for what I've seen so far, the animation has been. Yeah, pretty decent. Like, I haven't noticed any significant drop-offs the way that I've seen actually with, going back again to Nodame Cantabile. In Nodame Cantabile, instead of aerial mecha battles, you have people playing music. And in the first episode, you got, fluid people, playing.
Did you say that show has people fighting aerial battles?
I said instead of aerial battles, you have people playing piano or playing cello or playing violin, because it's a show about music. In the first episode, you actually have people playing. You can see their fingers moving on a keyboard. You can actually see them moving the bow around. And almost every episode after that, it's just a bunch of still shots. Like, there's no animation for any of the music playing at all. So I hope they don't cheap out like that. It's the equivalent of cheaping out. And so, but Soko no Strain so far has been very engaging, just as far as story goes. Like we see that Sarah, has to drop down several ranks because she doesn't want to have people to know that she's the sister of the guy who betrayed the entire country.
This is not a spoiler, right?
No, this is not a spoiler. This is all based on the whole premise of the whole show. And she meets all these kind of different people, and she gets picked on a lot by some of her fellow pilots, and she also meets up with these other kind of this cute little boy and girl who are apparently these mecha engineers who. Fix up her mecha, and there's lots and lots. It's very military focused. Almost all the action happens on spaceships or in space, and inside a military kind of environment. So if you like that kind of aspect of anime, there's Gundam, for instance, you'll probably like this show. And every episode ends on a cliffhanger, and so you really want to keep going and you want to find out what happens next. So,
How's the music?
The music is, I can't remember anything particularly notable about the music. Like, it didn't stand out to me. I think it's an orchestral kind of soundtrack, I think, but I may be wrong. And the fact that I can't really remember is probably a sign that doesn't really, it's not really that important.
The music doesn't, You know, in the classical era, excuse me, I mean 80s era or earlier, shows like these will have males as main characters, but you notice the otaku trend, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They put women there. They just put women in everything classically that men would do, because this is like a Gundam story, right? If it's anything like a Gundam story,
mm-hmm.
like anything like Bandai's company or Sunrise will produce, mm-hmm. a guy should be the main character. Not that I care about that, but, in this case, a woman is the main character.
Yeah, I think it's actually the Sarah, the main female character. She really reminds me of the girl in the third, interestingly enough, in Arahitomi no Shoujo. They don't try to actually play up her sex appeal very much, for instance. There is actually fan service in this show, but it's usually with some of the other characters. There's this other more cutesy girl who's one of her co-pilots, and she's I forgot one kind of thing about the mecha in this show. This is not a spoiler either. This is also part of the first episode. Okay. Basically, every strain, every mecha that they have requires what they call a mimic to be the co-pilot of. It's basically what they do is that they take a brain cell out of you, and they turn that into a clone of you, And it's not like a clone that looks exactly the same as you. It's like a child version or whatever like that. And basically that mimic is like the brain of the mecha. You can't pilot it without it. I'm not exactly sure why. They haven't really done a good job explaining the exact mechanics of how that works.
It's a lowly thing?
I have no idea, but yeah, the mimics tend to be kind of lowly-ish, so I'm sure it's probably there for the fan service at least, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, what happened to the classic era where, like, you just have super abilities where you evolve, you know, like you're the new type, or new in the Gundam, yeah, or you're the coordinator. Well, what about Gundam Wing, where I love the Gundam Wing part where you have the Wing Zero. The system just makes you supremely destructive. I think that's what really going to happen in the future. Nobody's going to evolve out of nowhere. It's the machines.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a mystery in Soko no Strain. I don't want to spoil it, but there is a mystery involving the mimics and what the mimics can do and what kind of powers they might confer on their users. And actually, I don't even know what exactly it is, but that's part of the whole mystery part of the show. So, yeah.
Okay. It sounds like an interesting show. I guess we could all check it out then.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
I highly encourage people who are into action, who are into mecha, and who are into kind of like the whole space opera type drama to get into it. Yeah.
Good deal.
All right. Well, that pretty much does it for this week's episode of Scattered Cells, episode number 9. We would all love to welcome your comments, questions, and anything you would like to have us address on air. So please either send us an email or, better, leave a comment on the post for this entry. Or, in fact, maybe even any other entry if you'd like to read our blog. Thanks again to Hang Trong for including us at Anime Nano. We thanked you with the last episode, but, you know, that was kind of late in coming. So once again, thanks.
Thank you very much.
All right. So this is Michael Huang.
And this is Raymond Hill.
Signing off. Goodbye.
Later.